Hey, Doc Danny here, and I just want to say thank you for listening to the PT Entrepreneur Podcast. If you want to get involved in the conversation and get your questions answered and feedback from myself and 1,500 other people within the PT Entrepreneur community, head over to Facebook and join the PT Entrepreneurs Facebook group. This is a great group for anybody that is in business or thinking about going into business for themselves and wants the support of other people like me and other practitioners out there that are entrepreneurs. So guys, thanks for listening. Enjoy this episode. So here's the question. How do physical therapists like us, who don't want to see 30 patients a day, who don't want to work home health, and have real student loans, create a career and life for ourselves that we've always dreamed about? This is the question, and this podcast is the answer. My name is Danny Matei, and welcome to the PT Entrepreneur Podcast. Hey, what's going on, guys? Doc Danny here with the PT Entrepreneur Podcast, and I'm excited to talk to you today. If you have been thinking about starting a cash practice, if you're a student maybe, and you're thinking this is what you want to do whenever you get out and you want to do your own thing, whether it be performance niche like us, golf, tennis, gymnastics, women's health, any number of niches within that type of a practice, you're going to really like this podcast today, because what I want to talk to you about is the top three reasons that I see, or excuses. Let me put it that way. I might offend people as I start talking about excuses, but excuses that I hear from people about why they drag their feet or decide not to do something on their own. And you know, this sort of stems from a training that I did last week. It was part of our GMPT Blueprint program. And part of that was some live mindset training that we were going over. And I've been working a lot more with business owners that already own practices that are trying to scale past just themselves, so to where they have another staff provider, an administrative staff member, and really be able to build infrastructure of a business to scale to multiple staff members within their cash practice, and much less with people that were that are just getting started. And previously, over the last, I would say, 2 years, I've helped a couple hundred people get started, and I forget just how scared or how scary it can be to initially start a business. And now I think we're just sort of comfortable with the discomfort associated with owning a business and some of the unknown that goes along with that. But you know, on this call, I really realized that there's some things that are there that everybody goes through and experiences, and that's totally normal. You know, so I wanted to talk about a few of those. And for those of you that are interested in this topic, if you want to take a deeper dive on this stuff, I would encourage you to go to physicaltherapybiz.com/masterclass. There's actually a free training there you can check out. It's training I did. It's just on-demand training on this sort of five-step process that I use to start practices in really any niche, and the things that you really just need to know and get right from the get-go to make sure that you don't you don't put yourself in a bad position from the beginning of your business. So that's totally free. It's on demand. You can watch it whenever you want. It's physicaltherapybiz.com/masterclass. So let's get into these three areas. And I sort of alluded to the first one, I guess, already, and that is mindset. So mindset's interesting. It's sort of, I guess it can mean something different to everybody, but really to me, it boils down to just confidence. I mean, I think that's probably the simplest way to explain mindset in terms of how I look at it. And I look at it from the lens of business, because I've been in it now at this point for 5 years between our cash practice and the other business that we own. And but I also can see it from the standpoint that maybe many of you can also you know, have experiences to share, which would be like athletics, right? So, you know, for me, I played a lot of baseball growing up. That was sort of my my sport that I played the most. And you know, baseball is an interesting sport because it's very individual, and yet you're on a team. But when somebody hits you a ground ball, if that ball goes between your legs, that's your fault. You know, you can't really blame anybody else. And it's very apparent whose error that is. If you strike out, you struck out. You know, you can't blame anybody else. It's your fault. So I think that, you know, when you look at something like that, confidence is a really, really important element to sports and in my experience, baseball. And you know, you can take this for any number of sports that you're in. I mean, the mindset that we have going into competition dictates how we're going to do tremendously. And we all know people that are like practice all-stars and then they just shut down in a game situation. But if you think about it, the skill set's no different, you know? If the skill set's there in practice, why is the skill set not there in a game? And there's some people that they're sort of like loafers in practice. They don't really do all that well in practice. They don't really try all that hard. But man, when it's game time, they like flip a switch and they're just better. They're gamers, you know? And that is mindset. It's not skill set, it's mindset. And we can train these skills all we want, but the mental side of it is so important, and it's very natural to be fearful of starting something that is new. And we probably, you know, for me, I felt this way. I think every time I graduated to another school, like when I went from elementary school to middle school, I was like, damn, it's going to be really hard. I don't know if I'm going to make it through as I'm to, you know, like this courses are going to be harder. From middle school to high school, same thing. High school to college, definitely. I totally thought, I was like, all right, Danny, you got to get your shit together. You're in college now. It's time for you to start paying attention and not failing out of school. Like this means something. This isn't middle school or high school. And then when I got to PT school, I had the same thing. I was like, all right, time to really focus and you know, get your shit together, man. You can't screw this up. This is important. And you know, when you look at this, for me, I'd never failed anything. So why did I have this this approach of, you know, feeling like I've always was going to not make it, right? Well, that was a mindset issue. And it was really a poor mindset overall. When in actuality, there really wasn't any fear associated with that. Like for me, I knew I would do what I needed to do in order to put the time in to study or to, you know, put the projects together that I needed to and be able to learn the skills. Like I, that wasn't the issue. It was just a new environment. And the new environment was what I was more afraid of than anything else. So I can tell you the same thing happened to me when I went into the Army and when I left the Army. Now, when I went into the Army, that's a whole nother place. Like anybody that's been in the military can probably attest to the fact that the military is a very unique environment where you're treated differently, not necessarily in a bad way, but it's different. There's a chain of command, you know, there's customs that are there and courtesies that you have to follow. And if you don't, it's very okay to yell at somebody in the military. That's actually probably the best thing. It's like, you could literally, I've yelled at people in the military and it's awesome. It's like, I know you got somebody you probably want to just yell at, you know, in your workforce, somebody you work with, maybe you can totally do that in the military. It's awesome. You can't necessarily do that civilian wise. It could get you probably sued, or, you know, somebody's going to hurt their feelings and then they're going to leave and whatever. It's going to be bad for you. So anyway, hold that in. But my point is that environment was very, very, I had a lot of anxiety going into the military because of a difference in my situation I was in. It was just a difference. Position, a different environment, a different group of people. And the same thing happened when I got out of the military and I started my business. I didn't know what to expect. And I think that this is what holds most of you back more than anything. This is the number one thing. The fear of the unknown. You don't know what to expect. You have nothing to relate to this. You know, unless you've started another business on your own, there's no way for you to prep yourself in a manner that's going to set you up for success in business, except for just diving into it. You know, that's about all you can do to start. You can read as many books as you want. You can listen to as many of these podcasts as you want, but it's scary no matter what, no matter who you are. But the mindset of this, the fear of this, primarily comes down to the fear of rejection and failure. Now, I'm going to say that again because I think that for some of you, you may be sitting there while you're driving to work and you're like, that's spot on. That's exactly what most people are afraid of. It's failure and rejection. In particular, failure and the way that that is perceived by everybody else around you. For me, the biggest fear that I had, besides not being able to make enough money to support my family, which is a bit irrational because I could always go back and get like a PRN job that I hated or work home health very quickly. I wouldn't have put us, on the streets. And that's what we tend to think. But I could have done that very, very easily. It wasn't the fear of that. I knew I could get, a job and make good money just with a degree that I had. Maybe it wouldn't be the thing that I really loved, but I could still do it. And I would do it if I needed to. But it was the fear of failure and what that looked like to my friends and family. Like the thing that I would have put off doing the longest, I would have done everything possible to not have to do this, would be to actually have to go shut down my business and go work for somebody else. And it's silly to think that that creates so much fear because, what Michael Jordan famously said, like, you miss 100% of the shots you don't take. And that's true. You don't know what's going to happen whenever you bet on yourself. But it's the fear of you having to then go back and then everybody realizing like, oh, you failed at this. Well, I'd say what I would rather fail and have to and learn a lesson from that and then go back and take a position that maybe I didn't want than not even try to begin with. And I think if you reframe it and look at it differently, you might come to a different conclusion about really how much fear is associated with that. Is there fear associated with that? Or did you actually try to do something that was more than what most people will ever do from a career standpoint in their life? And very, very few people will try to do something on their own because there's fear associated with it. And it's fear of rejection as well. What if people don't want to work with you? Like, if you go to a clinic and you're a staff practitioner, you're very insulated from this. You show up, there's patients on your schedule, you do your job, you go home, and that's it. You don't really have that rejection associated with going and trying to develop a relationship with somebody that doesn't want anything to do with you, or talking to somebody that you know you can help and they're not interested in working with you. Maybe it's there's a number of factors that could be a reason why, but just the rejection of that, the rejection of somebody saying no is fearful. And it's something that stops people from actually doing something on their own. So the mindset side of it, the fear and dealing with that it's really, really important to understand that. And from what I've found, when you can start to be a little bit more self-aware of why you're fearful of that, and then understand that that fear is not a bad thing. It's very normal. It's very normal. It is deep rooted. There's a reason why people are scared of heights, because the people that weren't scared of heights died and their genetics didn't live on very well. And the people that were scared of heights didn't die. And guess what? They are alive and there are ancestors, and that's how it works. So when you look at some of these fears, some of this is like going out on your own is sort of leaving the tribe a little bit, right? Like you're alienating yourself in some way. It's natural to have fear with that. Like, we're not going to wander off into the woods and be eaten by a saber-toothed tiger. For God's sakes, you're opening a business, and there's different ways to do it. And I kind of talk about this in the next bullet point, but that's where this fear comes from. And the more you can associate where it comes from and why it's normal, the less scary it feels. And the more likely it is that you can actually push past that and do the thing that you know you want to do. And if a little bit of fear stops you from doing it, you're going to have a lot of regrets associated with that along the way. So, number two, student loans. Look, student loans are a real problem. I think it's a massive, massive problem. In the U.S., the amount of money that we come out with student loans is crazy. And some of it also, let's be honest, guys, some of this is self-induced. Okay. So some of it, did you have to go to that super expensive private undergrad? You know, like, could you have gone to a state school maybe and had a quarter of the amount of student loans? Probably. But you know what? You were 18 years old and you didn't really maybe look at the long-term implications of that. You knew you wanted to go to this cool school and you rack up a bunch of loans in the process. Same thing with your graduate program. So maybe, you know, the school that you got into was out of state, but it was a really good program. And at the time you thought to yourself, man, it's going to be worth it. The Alumni Association, maybe it is, you know, but when you're sitting $200,000 in debt, you know, and on the high end, the highest I've ever heard was $380,000. If any of you are higher than that, you don't even have to let me know. Like that's rough. I feel bad for you with that. I mean, that's a really nice house that you just paid for basically. And you know, that's a scary amount of debt. Even if, you know, you could have $20,000 in student loans, that's still a lot of money. If that amount of money was sitting on a table in front of you in like 20s, you'd be like, damn, this is a lot of money. So, you know, for you, understand that these are real problems that a lot of people deal with, not just our profession. Really, anybody that's going to school now is racking up a lot of student loans and especially graduate degrees. So when you look at your student loans, you obviously have the monthly payment that you have to pay and you can't get away from that. In fact, the fact that you can't default from those loans, there's the only like one of the only ones, if not the only one you can't default from, that's pretty nuts when we really think about it. You know, you're stuck with that forever. So here's my advice with this stuff. If student loans are the reason why you are deciding to not take a chance on yourself with a cash practice, I recommend that you really think about what it's actually going to cost and what the return on investment can be for you, in particular with a side hustle practice. Now, for those of you that are unfamiliar with these different variations of how to start a practice, I recommend that you go to finsurancebook.com. If you haven't already gotten the book, get the book that I wrote. It's called Fuck Insurance, and it's your playbook to a performance-based cash practice and never having to deal with insurance again. Now, in that book, I actually reference two different variations of how to start a practice, and one of those is a side hustle. So if you haven't gotten the book, head to finsurancebook.com and you can get it for free. All I got to do is pay for shipping for me to send it to you, and you got it. Now, here's what I want to talk about with this. So a side hustle practice, when I started my practice, I started for less than $3,000. And at this point, that practice has generated like well over $1 million in gross revenue. Okay. So what's the return on investment for that? It's a ton. I don't know what the difference is. It's definitely more than any stock you can invest in. And I hear people say this stuff all the time. Well, like, oh, I'm not going to be contributing to my 401k. Dude, your 401k can't even come close to matching what you putting your own time and money into a business can generate. Like what 401k mutual fund can you put $3,000 into and then have something within 5 years that's generating hundreds of thousands of dollars a year for that $3,000 investment? Like, I know of nothing that you can invest in like that besides your own business and adding your own or investing your own time into that, right? So if you are a student with a lot of loans, if you can start a practice, and for me, that was $3,000. That was, and I bought a computer with that too, by the way. So maybe you already have a computer. You could probably do it for less than $2,000. So here's my point with this is if you can take a relatively small amount of money to start something on the side without leaving your job, or maybe you do leave your job and you take a different position that pays more in terms of like hourly or total compensation, maybe you don't like it as much, but you don't necessarily want to be there forever, but take that other position and then start your practice on the side in a side hustle manner and start to generate a secondary stream of revenue with your side practice. Now, this is the debate that I tend to get into people with student loans, because I mean, we had student loans from undergrad. I didn't have student loans from Baylor because it's a military scholarship program, right? So like I got accepted into the program, and then I owed the Army 4.5 years of active duty service afterwards. So, you know, I didn't have any student loans associated with that, but undergrad we did. And, you know, when we paid those off, you know, we did it by primarily just not spending much money and putting as much as we could towards our student loans. And that's one great way to do it. If you want to really be very, very strict with how you spend money, you can do that. And you can do it in a manner that can pay your student loans off quickly and really get that weight off of you. But now imagine this. Imagine if you did that and you were very frugal and, you know, you really stuck to trying to pay these off as fast as you could. And along the way, you started a side business that started generating anywhere between $1,000 and maybe $4,000 or $5,000 a month in revenue for you, plus the actual income that you're still making working your full-time job. Now, you're working your ass off, don't get me wrong, but could you work your butt off for a year or two and completely get rid of your student loans? Oh, and then have a business that you can grow into something much, much bigger along the way. Yeah, that sounds like a pretty good way to go about it. Because even if you just took, you know, an extra $1,000 you could make on a side hustle practice, which is very, very doable. I see people do it all the time. That extra $1,000 added towards your student loans helps pay them down much, much faster. So I think that we have to look at is, if that's what's holding you back, that might be one of the main reasons why you'd want to start something like this, so that you can actually make more money, take that money, and don't spend it, but put it towards paying your student loans down. And then when you don't have this payment anymore, your cash flow, now this is where wealth accumulation really accelerates. It's when you start to have fiscal responsibility with how you're spending your money. You're taking the excess money that you have, which hopefully is a decent percentage of what you're bringing in, and you're putting that towards a debt to pay that debt down. Now, what happens when all that debt has been paid off? Well, now you have this additional amount of money that you're not used to spending that you can then start to leverage into lots of other investments. And it doesn't affect your quality of life at all, because you're not used to having it in the first place. It's the best approach. And now once you get to that point, then it's like, okay, well, I can reinvest in my business. I can take that money each month and I can reinvest in whatever it is that you want to do. Business information, education, marketing, all kinds of things. Con Ed and your skill set, you know, plenty of different places where you can invest in yourself and your business. Maybe it's a rental house. Maybe you want to buy a house and you want to go, you know, the real estate route to develop, you know, some diversification within, you know, your wealth and have passive revenue, or at least a secondary stream of revenue associated with that. You know, maybe it's investing in some sort of, you know, retirement vehicle. Instead, you can throw a lot more money at it a lot faster whenever you have this extra money that you're not used to spending, because you've been putting it towards loans all the time. So I look at a side hustle practice as a really elegant way of starting to generate more money and putting that money towards the thing that you know is just crushing you inside, which is this student loan debt that you can't get away from. So if that's holding you back, maybe reframe it and think about, well, what could happen if I actually did do this successfully? I think that you could pay your student loans off much faster. And I've seen it over and over again within people that are in our Blueprint program and our mastermind. You know, I'm talking $60,000 to $100,000 in debt that people are paying off within like 2 years just by doing the same approach. So keep that in mind. If student loans are holding you back, think about it differently. Now, the last one, number three, is not knowing how the sausage gets made. So this is I hadn't heard this phrase. My wife loves this phrase because it's from like a song in Hamilton, the musical Hamilton, which I took her to when she was in Atlanta, which was awesome, by the way. Anyway, the sausage getting made, they don't understand, like, how does it happen? And the fear of not necessarily knowing how everything works stops them from initiating or getting started with their own practice. And a lot of this is basic stuff. So insurance, how do you deal with it? You know, what do you need to do or not need to do? Super bills, what the hell is that thing? Who gets it, who doesn't? Practice acts, you know, what does yours say? Who do you talk to? What kind of legal counsel do you need? New patients, where do you get them from? How do people find you? You know, how do you deal with those people when they come through the door? What happens if they don't get better? What happens if they do get better? Sales, you know, how do you get them to commit to you to solve a problem and commit to a plan of care? You know, how do all these things work as well as many, many other things? What things should you track? You know, what does a healthy business look like? When do you reinvest in your business? When do you hire administrative staff? When do you hire staff? You know, practitioners, you know, what's the best location? What's the sublease look like? There's a lot of stuff that is associated with, you know, you actually being able to start this thing up in a manner where it can be successful. And there's information out there. I mean, this is the other thing, is like, there's information, there's a lot of content. And I think that the content is not the problem. It's context to the content. So organization of that. This is the whole reason why, you know, people end up purchasing the blueprint program that we have, because it's basically, hey, step one, two, three, four, there's what you do. These are the resources. These are the common things that we see. And it gives people context. So alignment of the information. So if this stuff is something that is one of the major reasons that you're not starting, you can absolutely learn this stuff. Now, if you don't want the organized information, something like the blueprint, you can absolutely figure this stuff out via blogs, via podcasts, via videos online, all kinds of stuff, and get going. You know, I didn't have a digital program that showed me how to start a practice. I sure as hell wish there was one that was around when I started practice, because I had to learn all this crap, you know, the hard way. And in many cases, I did things wrong to start with, and then I had a costly mistake associated with it. And I mean, I've had tons of mistakes that I've made that just I didn't know existed, because there wasn't a lot of information about the business model out there. But now there is, you know, and it's relatively, a lot of it's free, and a lot of it's relatively inexpensive based on, you know, your investment within your business and what you can expect as a return on that. So if you're struggling with this section of it, this is probably the part that is the easiest to solve. You know, the information is out there. The hardest, in my opinion, is the first one, is the mindset side of things, is the confidence associated with knowing that you have the skill set to be successful. Like, that is challenging. You know, that's hard. And it's the only way to really get over that is to put yourself in the arena, is to put yourself in the position to have to, see people, have to get turned down by people, have to get rejected, you know, have to learn on the fly, and not maybe know exactly what's going to come next. And that's extremely challenging for people. It's challenging for me to this day, because things change so much. I mean, business changes quickly now, more so than it did maybe 50 to 100 years ago, much, much faster because of technology and information and access to information and connectivity of everybody. So it's a good place to be, but it's also something that can be, it's a scary thing to think about stepping into. So as you look at these three areas, you know, mindset, student loans, and then, you know, not really knowing how things run, all of these things are things that you can absolutely work on. In particular, if you reframe a couple of these, like your student loans and your mindset, and understanding that, yeah, because you're a little bit scared, that's normal. If you weren't scared, that would mean you're like a psycho. Okay. Like, that means you're a psycho, or you're incredibly arrogant, and or you're lying. I mean, that's the top three. That's about the only things I can think of, because it is scary to think about doing that, but the fear is not, it's not, there's nothing incredibly dangerous associated, you know, with it. So, you know, these are the three that I see. I want, you know, I would love for people to be able to push past this stuff and start practices. And here's the other thing. The reality is, it's happening more and more, much, much more. So the other thing for you to think about is, you might be sitting there contemplating this stuff. Oh, you know, I'm going to start. Give me 2 years and I'll start. Right. I've been out of school for 2 years. Give me two more years and then I'll get going. And well, you know what? In 2 years, somebody else might be doing the exact thing that you want to do in the exact place that you want to do it. And, you know, the more you wait, the more likely it is that somebody else is going to jump at the opportunity that you might have, but have not actually taken advantage of at this point. So keep that in mind as well. The longer you wait, you know, the more you put it off, the more likely it is that it may not, that opportunity may not exist anymore. So guys, these are the top three: mindset, student loans, and then not knowing how things work, or not knowing how the sausage gets made. If you want more information on this stuff to kind of really help push yourself past some of these barriers, Like I said before, head to finsurancebook.com. That's a great resource. It's free. All I got to do is pay for shipping and handling to get to you. And it's yours. It's your book. You got it. It's about everything I've learned in the last 5 years of being in practice for myself. And if you want to take a deep dive in a training that I did, head to physicaltherapybiz.com/masterclass. And you can get signed up for that masterclass that we did that shows you the 5-step process we use to start practices in really any niche and be able to set up the groundwork for that efficiently. So guys, thanks so much for listening to the podcast. I really appreciate it. I hope this inspires some of you to, you know, take a step forward and really look at taking your career into your own hands if it's something you've been thinking about doing. And in particular, I love that side hustle model where you can start to, you know, get exposed to business without never necessarily having to dive head first, which is much scarier. And use that as a way to help pay your student loans down, gain experience, you know, increase your monthly take-home pay, and pay those student loans off as fast as you can, and then really put yourself in a solid financial place going forward. So guys, again, thanks so much for listening to the PT Entrepreneur Podcast, and we'll catch you next time. You want more cash PT biz help? If so, go get a copy of my book, Fuck Insurance. It's your playbook to successful performance PT practice and never having to deal with insurance again. You can get a free copy at finsurancebook.com. That's finsurancebook.com. Inside this book, you'll learn the direct techniques that we have used to become one of the fastest 100% cash PT practices in the country.